Waitley on SEN.
Busy morning. Love your contributions to our show. You can do that right throughout the morning. 1300 736 736. That's the open line for Effective Freight Solutions. EFS delivering simple freight solutions. Kane Corns in for Jared Waitley. Sam Edmund coming up after 10:30. But right now, let's get to the AFL.com.au guru, Josh Gavalich. Josh, thanks so much for your time.
Great to be with you, Kane. Hope those legs have recovered after your past fortnight and they're starting to freshen up.
Just a little bit. You'll be back with the trade feed on afl.com.au and trade radio with Sarah Ollie from 11 o'clock to midday today. Josh, the hot topic this morning clearly has been Jordan Ngoi. Our show has been dominated by it, a lot of people wanting to have their say. What's the latest around it and what's your view on the contract standoff?
My view is that if you're Collingwood and you've lived the Jordan Ngoi, literally from the moment you drafted him at pick five back in 2014, you've lived through the brand damage and the off-field indiscretions. I think it would be reckless list management if you didn't have these clauses in his next deal. If you're Graham Wright, I think it's the right thing to do right now. So I understand from Jordan Ngoi's camp that you don't want these. You want guaranteed money, and they may get there in the end. So it's going to be a fascinating one, though, isn't it? I mean, we're going to have plenty of ebbs and flows as we've had all year, and especially between now and October 12. So don't know. I feel last week there was a fair bit of confidence that Jordan Ngoi would remain at Collingwood. But right now, it feels like maybe not. And it feels like Danny Barrett and I had the conversation this morning on AFL Daily. And it just feels like there might be another player out there in terms of another club that's allowing Jordan Ngoi's management to head down this path. So it's going to be a fascinating watch.
Yeah, a club that perhaps we haven't speculated about. I mean, St Kilda has been there. Geelong were interested, but then said no in the end, and we're going to pursue other players, Tanner Bruin and Jacob Hopper, who they missed out on. But you think there perhaps could be another club that we may not have spoken about yet?
You couldn't rule it out, could you? Because Jordan's proven in the past 6 weeks, I think maybe the last 2 months of the season, that he's a star at his absolute best. His first two finals proved that again, but it is a risk given his off-field indiscretions to give him a 5-year guaranteed deal. So who knows, a club could come in the next fortnight, but right now I feel like Collingwood is the best place for Jordan. I think he knows that deep down, but it's going to be an interesting watch given his management.
No doubt about that. Hey, still on Collingwood, what's the latest with Ollie Henry?
Well, aside from Jordan Ngoi and Brody Grundy, I don't reckon there's another player at Collingwood that generates as much interest in terms of his future. It's fascinating when you think he hasn't even been a permanent fixture in their 22 just yet. And this happens when a player's taken in the first round, like Ollie Henry was 2 years ago at pick 17, there's an investment from the members and the supporters instantly. And we saw him at times this year have some great performances. That game back in Perth, I think back in round 10, they got that run going where he kicked 4 goals as the Medi sub. He proved in some big games against Carlton and Hawthorn, and he can kick some clutch goals late in games. But I'm told we'll get a fair indication of his future in the next 24 to 48 hours. Obviously, there's been a lot of speculation around him for some time. There's been a bit of a distance between what he wants and what the club wants in terms of dollars and terms. But I think in the next couple of days, we'll find out a lot more about his future. He's obviously been linked to Geelong. He's always going to be linked to Geelong when he's not playing for Geelong. Even he grew up literally around the corner from Cadinia Park, played at St Mary's, went to St Joey's. Obviously, his brother is now a premiership player at that club. He was around the Cats on the weekend. I wouldn't read too much into that. If it's your brother playing at a premiership, of course, you're going to be around the festivities. But we should know a lot more about his future, potentially as soon as tomorrow.
I like him as a player. I'd be shattered to lose him if I was Collingwood, but we'll wait and see, as you say, how that plays out. The ruck merry-go-round at this time of the year is always interesting as clubs look to, I guess, shore up their ruck stocks. What's the latest here, and which big ruckman could we see be on the move?
Well, we know Luke Jackson's requested a trade back to WA. We expect him to get to Fremantle. Brody Grundy is obviously the other big player in this. We had Jason McCartney on yesterday, and he sort of revealed a little bit about GWS's interest and the fact that the Grundy camp had knocked that on the head. It looks like he will get to Melbourne, but I reckon the most fascinating part about the trade period is the ruck merry-go-round, because often we see players that are lesser names, like a Darcy Fort last year, that move clubs. You don't spend any time during the trade period focusing on a Darcy Fort. He ended up playing 18 games this year for a side that made a prelim. And even if we go back to prelim weekend and we think about the SCG, Tom Hickey versus Darcy Cameron, two players that have moved clubs during this trade period for not much and didn't attract any attention. Sarah Lee and myself are going to spend a bit of time on it this morning on Trade Radio, just looking at some of these lower key departures that actually end up paying dividends. They become really valuable commodities, even if it's just for a season or two. It's just the nature of ruckman. But I think if we look ahead to this year, Lloyd Meek and Nick Bryan, they're both players that are contracted for next season at their current clubs, but they're looking for opportunities elsewhere, and they should get those moves potentially. Definitely Lloyd Meek. He's attracted plenty of attention. But Nick Bryan as well, he's stuck behind Sam Draper at Essendon and had a really strong season in the VFL. He might be another one that clubs come for. We know GWS have shown a bit of interest in him. St Kilda have shown a little bit of interest in him. It's just a fascinating part of the trade period. It probably doesn't attract as much attention, but I think it will this year with Luke Jackson and Brody Grundy in play.
Yeah, and you can't get caught short without one. And we saw the disaster it was for Port Adelaide without one. Finlayson plays ruck. You know, Brisbane played a big final with Mick Stay in the ruck as well and did a reasonable job. But you don't want to get caught short without a ruckman. And finally, before we let you go, because you've got a busy day, mate, you spoke to Mitch Robinson yesterday and this created all sorts of headlines. He's open to moving to a third club.
He is. He's 33. He's played 247 games. We thought that this was the end, but there definitely is a couple of clubs that are just kicking the tyres. I mean, there's nothing concrete at all. I think it won't play out during the trade period if it is that he gets a spot at a third home. It might be as a rookie later in the year, but he was emphatic. He is physically capable of going on. He's mentally capable of going on, and he's happy to go anywhere. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens. He sort of fell out of favour a little bit in the second half of the year, but he played really well at VFL level. So I think he could be an option clubs look at. I'd be surprised if he got another look. And I don't know what you think, but I would be surprised if he got to a third club. But I think a topic that will come up across the trade period is delisted free agents. And so far, you'd have to say he's been the most successful story when you think that he was delisted from Carlton 8 years ago and played nearly another 150 games. And we'll talk a lot about Tyson Stengel across the next fortnight, like a lot of people have across the weekend, given where he's come from. But a different situation. Obviously, Tyson left the game in different circumstances. Mitch Robinson was delisted. So for him to go on and play 147 games has been sensational from where he was at. But who knows? He might have some more games left in him yet.
Yeah, I'd be surprised as well. Hey, mate, love your work. Look forward to tuning in to the Trade Feed, Trade Radio with Sarah, Ollie and yourself from 11 to midday today. And you'll see and hear and read you on afl.com.au.
Thanks, Kane. Chat to you soon.
Josh Gabalich there joining us with all the latest trade news. You can have your view or your say on any of that. It's all for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au. Back shortly.